Monkey Podcast. Okay, welcome everybody to the Zeke and Jiggy Show. We have a very special guest, very good friend of mine, Robert Bean, on the podcast today. Robert, how you doing?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Very good. The podcast today, I really wanted to do this one because of the listeners we have everywhere. People are very interested in the South, Southern culture, and... And in recent times, the things we see and read about in the news, race and race relations. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, I got to get Robert in to talk because over the years, I've heard so many stories and things that, you know, I wanted to share with everybody out there, you know, all the listeners. So thanks for coming here and doing this. I think people are going to really enjoy it. An interesting thing, now your sister, right, was the first to integrate?
Yes.
And what was it, Bruce?
Bruce.
What happened there? What's the story?
Well, when the integration come in, they selected some students to introduce the integration.
Right.
In our area.
To integrate into the all-white.
All-white school.
This was Bruce, right?
This was Bruce.
The 60s?
Around 66 or something mm-hmm. like that. And she was one of the ones that was selected.
Okay.
And it was something that people weren't ready for at that time. And, you know, the threats and the letters and stuff that were left in our doors. And
oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Threats on her life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They leave... signs in the driveway, KKK, if you don't take your daughter out to school, you will be sorry.
Really?
And, well, they even shot in our house at one time.
Really?
Yeah, just one night, car come up without warning, and it was like an assault rifle, just mm-hmm. pow, 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 pow.
Mm.
And we just all hit the floor, man, and laid there holding one another. We didn't know if they were going to come on in the house and kill us
right.
or what. But it was just doing them times, man. And
yeah.
it was, I look back now and I see kids and stuff today and they probably wouldn't believe the story that I'm telling, but you know.
Yeah.
I'm not telling it out of.
Well, that stuff was, we can look at history. That was very real.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was very real stuff.
And it was very educational
mm-hmm.
to, us at that time, you know, because
now you said somebody kept in contact with you,
yeah,
the family.
They did.
Was the district attorney or something?
Attorney general.
The attorney general.
Yes.
For Mississippi?
From Washington.
Oh, really? From Washington.
Robert Kennedy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it was probably the program that they were pulling out nationwide to start integrating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And your sister was chosen.
Yeah.
And so they kept in contact with you.
Yes, they did. By letter at the time, because we didn't have a telephone or all these things that we used to today. It wasn't around at that time.
Yeah.
So, and
that's crazy to think about.
The mailman, he was sort of a guy that knew us over the years, and he sort of protected us in a way because he would bring the letters to us and the letters that we would write back, he would sort of take them back. He knew what was going on, but he didn't reveal it to
right.
nobody. And wow. we're very thankful to him to this very day, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when all that stuff that happened, I guess, was there any help from the police when they're giving you threats and shooting in your house, or were you just on your own, or were you guys just on your own on the
well
that?
We were just on our own, and that's probably who was doing it to police.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It could have been.
Yeah.
And you know they had to know about it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They knew about it. And it was a thing.
They probably cleared the streets so they could come through and do it.
And we wasn't the only one that had threats and things. Some of the people had to move off of people's places. Like, you know, they lived on a person's place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they would just tell them, say, well, you know, you're going to have to find you somewhere else to live. You're going to integrate your kids, going to integrate the school up there. It was just something that wasn't a popular issue, man.
How did that affect your sister? Did she go through it okay? That had to be a traumatic experience.
Well, she got issues to this very day. She's not mean-spirited about it. She's not hateful about it. But anytime you reject it, man, for no reason.
Yeah.
Only reason because you're different. It really hurts, you know. We talk about it sometime, and we always laugh about the time we was all laying on the floor holding one another and the gunshots was going off. You know, but, you know, it's just a thing in the past, you know.
Well, I'm glad that we've gotten to the point where you can look back on that now and laugh about it.
Oh, yeah. Know. It's no hatred. It's not no hatred about it. It was just ignorance at the time.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I really appreciate that story. I had heard my dad talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
But I've never heard it until now.
Yeah,
So.
Well, man, me and your dad, we talked about everything under the sun.
That's right. That's right. Robert, the first thing I want to talk about, you know, the real hot topic. And it's been a hot topic for a long time.
Okay.
And that's the Rebel Flag.
Rebel Flag.
Yeah. First off, what are your thoughts on the Rebel Flag? When you see it, what thoughts come to mind? You know, what do you think about?
Well, you know, I think it was 13 states that seceded from the Union, and they were represented by the Rebel Flag.
Mm-hmm.
And those states, they were slave states, that we call it, you know?
Yeah.
And they wanted to continue slavery, and this flag was a symbol of slavery to us, to black people.
Right, right.
And even after they was defeated.
In the Civil War. Right.
They still used this as a symbol of power, although it had no power.
Right.
But it was a symbol of slavery to us, to me.
Right, right. And, you know, I think that's fair, because it started out as a battle flag.
Right.
For Lee and, I think, Virginia.
Yeah, right.
And then it was adopted by the Confederate States, you know, as part of the flag.
Right. But the North defeated the South. They broke the backbone of the...
That's right. Yeah.
But
the flag is a defeated flag.
It's a defeated flag.
That's right.
But they resurrected that defeated flag and gave it power by placing it back on the state flag.
Right, right.
Which I never thought that it had no rights of doing that. I don't know how they did it, but they did it.
Right.
But that was just like a thumb at you. You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
And you done fought even my peoples, black peoples, they fought and died to defeat slavery.
Yeah.
But now.
So you see a close connection between the slavery days, that way of life, and the flag.
And the flag.
One represents, right, the other.
That's right.
It represents. Yeah, and.
It's just like the Nazi flag, it represented the Holocaust, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But it's so horrible, people see. But the Confederate flag, they embraced that.
Yeah, you and, see? It, you know, a lot of, especially white people, they don't necessarily associate that with the flag.
Well.
For whatever reason, right?
I hear
it's what's interesting. It is a defeated flag, like you talked about.
Yeah.
And after the war, it disappeared for a little while. And then, unfortunately, and I think this is what creates a lot of the negativity with it. Mm-hmm. Apart from what we already talked about being the battle flag and the flag of the Confederate States.
Yeah.
Is that in the 1930s, I believe it was the 1930s, the Klan, the KKK, picked it up.
Oh, yeah.
And started running with it.
Yeah.
So from there, I can see from your perspective, you know, a lot of white people don't really take the time to think about your perspective, just their own.
Well, I sympathize with their perspective of it, too, I want to say. Mm-hmm. I want to add. Now, a lot of people said that it's their heritage. I can respect that.
Yeah.
Now, if you got a shirt, a hat, or you want to take that flag and put it on your car or in your yard, I respect that.
Right.
If it's your heritage, that's what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
But don't put it on nothing that I'm paying taxes on or represents me.
Right. Because
nothing about it don't represent me.
Right.
To me, I wouldn't say an enemy because it had no power now. But at one time, it was a sworn enemy to the black man.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah, especially when the Klan picks it up and runs with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really respect your thoughts on that, your thought process on that.
Because, I got to be honest with you.
I mean, for you to say it, look, if you want to fly it, if you want to buy it, put it on your shirt, your car, hey, I'm all for that.
In your yard.
But to put it on the government building.
Right.
Taxpayer-funded stuff.
City
there's
Hall.
There's no place for that.
The schools.
Right.
All that kind of stuff. Hey, ain't no place for that, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a sworn enemy against that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I got you. One last thing on that. You know, today's generations, these younger kids, they fly it. You know, I think a lot of these kids that do it today don't understand the history of it. I think they look at it as a culture, you know, the Southern, you know, we're from the South, Southern pride, we're proud of being from the South, country boys, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think a lot of newer kids view it like that.
Yeah, okay, that's okay.
And
that's
right.
Okay.
But I think
that's okay.
But I think
that's okay. I understand.
They
that.
Don't, but I think they don't know their history.
Don't know there's more.
There's more to it
right.
than just mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Yeah.
They mm-hmm. want to fly, that's fine.
And
but it was
that's always the reason I never really did it.
Yeah.
Because I understood the history.
Oh, you knew. Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've never owned one, probably never will.
Yeah.
And I've just it's just not that important to me.
Man.
You know. So I would say the rebel flag, it just knowing you, I know it doesn't offend you. I don't think it will.
No. No, it don't offend
just knowing
me.
Your personality.
No, it don't offend me.
But you understand.
I understand.
The history of it.
I understand the history of it.
Right.
And if, like I say, if people's, if it's their heritage and it represent their culture, that's fine. Keep it up, you know. Put your flag on your car, your shirt, your hat, and your yard. All that's good.
Yeah.
But just don't try to put it back on
I got you.
Our federal.
Well, it's gone now. So
thank goodness.
You know, and I respect that.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah.
I understand your view on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see it and respect that.
Yeah.
On this question I want to ask you, do you think race relations are better today than 50, 60 years ago?
I think so. The reason why people's are more educated. They understand more, you know. The worst thing you can try to deal with is an ignorant human, man. And you trying
absolutely.
To have a dialogue with him or he's changing and he's offended by the things that you say.
Right.
And you wouldn't be saying if they wasn't true or wasn't some type of order about it. But now people mostly they talk about race. They talk more about it. Back in those times, you couldn't talk about nothing like that.
Right.
But nowadays, we joke about it, you know, this and that. And about the Klan and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, people laugh about it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's racism more or less stems off of the institution of slavery.
Yeah.
you got to look at slavery. Slavery was an institution.
Mm-hmm.
It had dialogue, bylaw, things you did, things you didn't do, things you had to say, things you couldn't say.
Right.
You know, like, hey, if you looked at a white woman back in that time, you better be headed for the Mason-Dixon line. I mean, in a hairy boogity, boogity, boogity. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I would say even Jim Crow days.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about. And then you go downtown, the water fountains. Man, you better not be caught drinking out of a water fountain. I was almost knocked in the head by Bruce Company store. They had a fountain in there.
Uh-huh.
And we had them at the school down there. But see, a friend of mine, we was up there looking for a cap to mm-hmm. buy. Where I just saw a fountain in there. And I just got me a drink of water out of it. And for some reason, I just have to look up, and this man was coming down on my head, you know.
Oh.
And my friend was with me. He saw it. He started laughing and running, and I started running. Man, we were headed back to the campus. Boogity, boogity, boogity.
Because you were drinking out of the water fountain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what I had did.
Right.
And he said, man, you can't drink out that fountain. He knew, but I didn't. See, I'm out the country, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that brings me to, you experienced Jim Crow.
Oh,
Jim
man.
Jim Crow laws.
I didn't understand it, but it was there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think just in that, where I think things are probably better today than they were back then because we don't have Jim Crow.
You couldn't use laws. None of the facilities like water fountain or bathroom. Even when you went to the doctor. It's colored and white, you know. You went to the movies, colored and white. Well, the school, they were segregated. And even on a Saturday evening, you go to town and the police tell you to get off the sidewalk. And let right. the white people, you know, really? Walk on the sidewalk. You get your, you know. Like say,
that's
funny.
Not funny, but
it's funny now. Yeah. You know, we laugh about it, you know, but at the time, that's just the way it was.
Right.
And you could get in a lot of trouble. You could get crap knocked out of you if you didn't, you know. And
right.
That's just the way it was, man.
So I take it you really didn't. Did you buck the system any?
No. Never bucked the system. I was taught not to by my parents. And, you know, don't talk back to the authorities, you know. Yes, sir, and no, sir, to everybody. Not only the police, anybody, your elders, as they call them.
Right.
Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. And you just basically did what they said.
Right.
Mm-hmm. My uncle was James Gates, and my grandfather was named James Gates Sr., and it was eight boys and one girl. Mm-hmm. That one girl was my mother. Out of eight boys, it was one girl.
Right.
They used to, they had a farm, you know, and they baled cotton. And at the time, it was all mules and wagons that they, you know, took the cotton to the gin. So my granddaddy would always send him to
your
the
uncle.
Gin to do the, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular day, they'd always hook up two mules. They have a young mule that they was in training, and they put a big mule with that mule.
Right.
And he went to the gin, and he had gin, his cotton, was on the way back. And this white lady, she was this Mr. Clark's. He was a big man in the country at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent her walking back, and he asked her, did she want a ride? She knew him. She said, yeah, James, I believe I do.
Mm-hmm.
And she jumped on the back of the cotton wagon, looking back, and the wagon was going forward.
Yeah.
So it was this bridge over there. They called her. I don't forgot the Chandler Bridge, and it was long. I'm gonna say it was over 100 feet long, or longer, mm-hmm. 150, could have been 200 feet. But I don't forgot now. But we used to cross it all the time. It was one way, could one lane. I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
So he got on the bridge with his mules and his wagon. My uncle was driving it, and he was headed home. And here this car coming from the other way had, I don't know how many boys in it. They was white boys. They pulled up on the bridge with him and told him to back the wagon back across the bridge so they could pass. And that was impossible.
Right.
And
can't back a wagon with horses, I don't think.
But anyway, he said he was scared out of his mind, them being white boys. And he said he had forgot this lady was on the back of the truck.
And plus, she's got a white girl on the back.
On the back of the truck. Right. Yeah. And get that wagon off this bridge so we can pass by. The N-word.
Right.
So they was hollering at him. He said he was so scared. He said it seemed like to him the sun had went down.
Really?
It had got dark. The sky had got dark. That's fear, man.
Yeah.
And he said all of a sudden he heard this voice, but he didn't know where it come from. He had forgot that she was on the back of the wagon. And she hollered at him, y'all get this wagon, that car off this bridge right now. And they looked up and saw who it was. That was the boss man. Daughter. He said they almost tore reverse out of that thing, back in the back off that way.
Oh, man.
And he went on over, and when got to her house, he stopped, let her out. And she said, James, she said, if that trash say anything else to you about this, you let me know. And he told her he would. And that was the last he ever heard of it, you know.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It was a lot of things that went on back in those days. I can remember an instance where my brother and I had some horses at the time. I had three. We used to ride them all the time. So we was riding, going across the bottom, as we call it. We stopped at a house. We saw quite a few people sitting on the porch. We stopped at Mr. Dar Jones' house. He just had moved in over there. And, we just all sitting there talking. We was on the horses, just letting them rest a little bit. And here this car come across the bottom. It was all gravel roads at that time.
Right.
And we could just see the dust flying. Coming across there. He pulled in the driveway and jumped out. We didn't know what was going on. We just had got there. Dog, why you tear my screen door down, you know? And Dog told him he didn't know that he had tore it down. He come out with a pistol. Mm. And threw it in Dog's face, you know. He just stood up. Now, when he first pulled up, he stood up.
Right.
And then this guy pulled out that gun and threw it in Dog's face. I was looking for it to go off just any time. Mm. He's shaking real bad, shaking. I can remember him shaking. And he just
with the pistol in his hand.
Yeah.
The pistol, yeah.
And we was looking for the sound of the pistol just to crackle out in the air, you know. And right. Dog fall dead, you know. I guess his nerve fell. I don't know. He knew he was wrong. But anyway, he just took the pistol down, jumped back in the car, and took off just like he came. I know Dog had to have it. But it wouldn't have been nothing done about it if he had a did that.
If he'd have killed him,
wouldn't nothing have been done.
Nothing been done about it.
Nah. That was just the way it was when he was growing up in the South back in those times, you know.
Yeah.
You just had to.
I absolutely believe that. And I remember, I don't know if I told you this story before or not, but I remember sitting in my granddad's store, you know, Papa Raymond's store, Mount Moriah.
Okay.
Store down here. Somebody, well, I know who it was, and I'm not going to say his name, but I remember we were in there, and he was talking, And I remember he wanted, I think we've been talking about guns, and he wanted to buy a Gatling gun. You know those guns you you turn and it shoots a lot of rounds?
Yeah.
We were like, well, what are you going to do with one of them? And I remember him saying that they were for the black folks. That if the black folks decided to rise up, that he would use it on them.
Oh, okay.
And I had to have been a teenager. I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
And I just, when I heard that.
Yeah.
And see, this is one of the instances that turned me off to the rebel flag.
Yeah.
Because it was people like that were flying the rebel flags on their trucks and wearing them on their shirts.
Well,
when I heard that, see, when you tell me stuff, the story you tell me,
they're
absolutely true.
Yeah.
It's just me being a teenager, and I'm only 38.
Yeah.
People with mindsets like that still.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not going to say, I'm not trying to defend the action of black people, but I say it like this. I believe, and most of the ones that I deal with, they love America more than anybody. I can explain to you. Now, we got some brothers that could do a lot better. The rats and roaches of our race.
Right.
And you, the whites, they got rats and roaches
absolutely
of their race. But those people don't represent me.
And, that's right.
Never will, never have, never will. And I'm not going to side with them and they wrong over you. I'm not going to do that
because
it's wrong. I'm going to try to, whatever go down, I'm going to try to be on the right side of it. That's where I was always taught.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
If you wrong, you wrong. You don't have a leg to stand on. But if you stand with what's right, it'll always bring you through, man.
And Robert, I want to ask you this, too. You have a history of martial arts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you were pretty tough back when you were younger, right?
I was.
Yeah. Did growing up the way you did that push a lot of the martial arts, the desire to learn how to defend yourself, learn how to fight? Did it, or did that come from just totally something different?
Well, I grew up in the city, Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I had a cousin there. His name was Jimmy Gates. And he was a student. He was a black belt. I was trained under him. I studied the art for a lot of years, you know. I had earned my black belt.
And, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Korean art style called Muay Thai. It's a Korean art style. But you know, that was a lot of years ago. But,
Yeah. I guess a testament to you, knowing you being younger, knowing how to defend yourself, and can probably beat up anybody, you experienced a lot of things where you probably could have fought back,
but didn't. No.
Right.
That's not why you study martial arts.
That's right. And like you said, you were raised.
Yeah.
You weren't raised to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get yourself in a position like that to jump on people or to run over people. It's self-defense.
Right.
That's what it's called, self-defense. Karate means empty hand, you know. You take your fists or your feet or whatever and defend yourself.
That's right.
Against bullies most.
Yeah. There's another thing I wanted to talk with you about, which is a real popular thing right now, is the reparation talk, right? Reparations. You know, a lot of people are talking about it. Do you think that we owe the black community, or kind of, you know, what the whole idea of reparations are about?
Well, you all don't owe me nothing. We're talking about America.
Okay.
This nation. And the black man was brought to this nation to be a a slave, a servant. Mm-hmm. And his work, he cleared this country. He built the cities and everything else. And he didn't get nothing for it. He fought the wars of America. He bled on every shore. And every war he fought in, he won. Mm-hmm. And the next one, he gonna win.
Right.
Because he is the original man. Mm-hmm. And but when he come back to America to celebrate the victory, he got nothing. He didn't get no nothing for his labor or servant. And basically, that's where it always been. Every victory that's won and the table was set for the mm-hmm. feast, he was never allowed to be at the table.
Yeah, couldn't come to the table to eat.
Couldn't come to the table to eat, you know, so to speak.
I get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I understand your, yeah. What should happen, do you think? What would you like to see in the idea of reparations?
Well, it's a lot of ways. I'm not saying a handful of cash in everybody's hand.
Right.
Because if you did, the next day it'd be broke again. You know, the people.
That's right.
But opportunity.
That's any race.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Opportunities and for peoples, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if I want a piece of land over here that I can buy, hey, just throw my share in on that, and maybe I can get me some equipment and this and that. Mm-hmm. Maybe I can start me a farm or something. If I'm trying to create a business over here, give me mine in the coupons or whatever to get my material to set my business up. Let's just say like this right here. Mm-hmm. Equipment and everything. All I need is the idea.
Yeah.
And the determined to work, you know. If I work and put my energy in this, it can start off a small business or whatever.
Yeah.
But at least I get something for what my parents work for. Although they're not here now, or my grandparents and this and that. But they never was paid. I'm the one living. Let me inherit what they didn't get. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they. I think what you're saying, your parents didn't get a fair shake at things.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. So just so I understand what you're saying, you're not seeing reparations as in handing out wheelbarrows of cash to people.
No, uh-uh.
What you would like to see is the government or whoever to level the playing field.
They allow slavery to be here.
Right.
They responsible.
Right.
Listen here. Let me say this. My granddaddy was Amos Hightower. Mm-hmm. That was his name. He lived to get 112 years old.
Wow.
He was 12 years old when Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. Mm-hmm. But he was sold a second time when he was 24 years old. Now, that was after slavery when he was sold the last time.
They said this is your granddaddy or great-granddaddy?
That's my grandmother's daddy.
Okay, so your great-grandfather.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So he was sold.
The second time.
Second time at 24.
At 24.
Okay.
And he was 12 years old when Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. Mm-hmm. He was selected bred, if you know what I mean.
Right. Absolutely.
At the time, they was selective breeding slaves.
Right. For a stronger workforce.
Yeah.
Right.
Big, stout man that could do the work of three or four men. And, you know, right. They used to fight them and all have weightlifting days, you know, where right. They compete with one another. He was known as Amos Hightower. He was the baddest dude out there in this part of the country. Mm-hmm. that they knew about. And just an example of and it's a story that was, and I know a lot of people used to tell a story not black people, white people, about how he held his mule. They had him out there plying a garden out there with a mule. And he stopped to rest the mule. He had a little white boy out there, like to hang around with him and be with him and stuff like that. And they was friends, you know. Of course, he was a man and this was a boy.
Yeah.
He was in his prime at the time. And this boy, he goes up there and gets in the harness there. You know, you have the line to run back to where the plow is.
Right.
But he, when he did that, the mule took off with him and had him hung up in the harnesses. And he jumped the fence. And he saw what was happening. He run up there and grabbed him. Grabbed him by his hind leg. And he held him. He held that sucker till they come got him out of it.
Mm.
And that's a story that's written in history, man.
Yeah.
And a story that's, I guess people around here now that's living, they don't know about it, but that was Amos Hightower, part of his legend.
Yeah, wow.
And he was, I remember when he had got to be an old man, he had got where he couldn't walk. And they put knee, he had put knee pads on every day, and he crawled around. You know, we go to my grandmother's house. He was living with his grandmother. He worked all that time and never earned any money. He was a slave.
Right.
He was property.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that were the father, parents of that little white boy, they come and get him every year. And they take him and shopping. They buy him all kind of clothes, and they do that every year.
For your grandfather or your great-grandfather?
They did that for him. They were grateful that he saved that boy's life, because he had took, and me had took him through that fence, he was going to tear him up, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Uh-huh. And so I don't know their names, man. All I know is the legend, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
The Amos Hightower.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I've never heard that. I don't think I've ever heard you tell me that story before.
I tell you who could tell you the story, You know the guy up there on Rocky Mountain used to sell the equipment up there? Mr. GB, what was his name?
I don't know.
I heard him tell me the story a dozen
times. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Amos Hightower.
I'm going to look him up. I wonder if it's, hey, that'd make a good book or a good movie, wouldn't it?
I'm telling you, man. Yeah. I'm telling you. But see, we all know the story. We all know the history.
Right.
But, you know, that's just... Yeah. The way it was, you know.
Yeah, so I think as far as reparations, and then, you know, we'll move on to a different topic.
Okay.
I think what you're saying, to level the playing field, give a chance to earn what was not able to earn years ago.
That's right. You was property. You got fed, and that was it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I got you. That's fair.
That was it. That was it.
And, I think a lot more people could get behind that idea more than just giving away taxpayer money to people.
No, I don't. I worked all my life, Zeke.
I've earned
what I got. You know what I'm saying? Nobody gave me nothing. I feel like a man that wants to make him a good living, if he'll work and earn it, I think he ought to have it.
Right. Let's talk about, just for a second, the police. A lot of stuff going on right now about police. I remember you telling me a story one time about a run-in you had years ago with a police officer.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that story in just a minute.
Okay.
First of all, there's the idea of defunding the police. And I know that means different things to different people. How do you feel about the idea of defunding police forces?
I really don't believe that we can afford to. Reason why I say that, we don't know where and we don't know when. But when we need the police, who else can we call?
That's right.
You want him there.
Mm-hmm.
You need him there. And nine times out of ten, he gonna try to make it there. He gonna put his life on the line and this and that.
Right.
But now, we got some peoples out there that abuses their power.
Absolutely.
And I think they should be monitored and they should be punished for taking the law all in their hands. We got a system in place. It may not be perfect, but we got a justice system. All they got to do is take him and put him in that justice system.
Yeah.
And let justice be served.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to serve justice out in the street, and he hadn't did no investigation, don't know exactly what happened, but he used his firearm and his billy club to...
Do you think a lot of that is race or just being like what you referred to earlier as ignorant?
Well,
just
some of
being
both.
Stupid.
Some of both.
Right.
Some of both. Because now we got black officers out there that's been caught up in the same scenario. You know, they took the drugs from the drug man over here and give them to the drug man over here to sell for them.
Yeah.
And they was part of the problem, you know.
Yeah.
Was the problem. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they did more than that. If a person, if he'll do this over here, he'll do that over there.
Yeah.
And it's not about, and we call it police. Police.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't saying nothing about black police, white police. Because right. The black police on your head, you ain't gonna tell the difference where he what
white or black.
You just want him out.
Right. Would you say that there are more good police officers or there are more bad police officers?
More good police officers.
Right.
Yeah. It just, and it's the same way about people. It's more good people than it is bad people. So we got to do better screening for good people than bad people.
That's right.
You got a cop over here. They done kicked him off and sent him over here. What you gonna take him over here for? Huh?
Kicking the can down the road or...
Kicking the can just, down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Police officers that do things like that, they need to be gone.
Put him in jail. Put him in jail.
Right.
Put him in jail.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would say that, agree that not all police brutality is because of racism, but some of it is.
Some of it is.
A lot of it is just due to bad people.
Yeah.
Ignorance.
Yeah.
The media makes it seem like racism is what drives a lot of the stuff going on.
Well, I'm not going to say all of it. Some of it is,
but some of it, yeah, I think we, nobody should disagree or say that it's not, that there's not any. There is. Racism is involved in some cases.
Yeah, but people's a lot of time provoke the police to do what they do. And nobody wants the police around till they call it.
Right.
Yeah, if he just come up or whatever, you don't want him around.
That's
he
right.
The police. He going to try to lock me up. He going to try to do this. You can be driving down the highway, and you look up in your mirror, and the police behind you. You get frightened.
I think what you said about nobody, like, when I'm driving, traveling for work and stuff, when the police gets behind me, I don't like it.
You don't like it.
I don't like it. I wish they would go somewhere else.
You wish they'd go somewhere else. But he's...
But when I want him, if I need him, I want him there.
You want him there.
I think that's everybody shares that, I think. Excuse me. So, absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, I got a high degree of respect for the police. He's a legitimate, he's a servant. And that's what he should be, you know.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So tell me about you've told me this story before. A little run-in you had. And it didn't get violent, but just the nature of it was interesting to me.
Oh, you're talking about...
Something to do with a hat.
Okay. Now, that's one story.
Okay.
I had a couple stories.
Well, share both of them.
The first time I had come home from Michigan, I was living in Michigan, and I was down here to visit my relatives. And my cousin, he called me. He knew I was at home. He called me and said, well, man, let's ride a while. So we went out, and we went on to a place called the Black Cat back in them days. And we wasn't drinking or nothing like that. And we was on the way home. We come out here, this roadblock here. He had a light out on the front of his pickup. And they got out. I could hear them on to him out there about that light and stuff. And he was nervous. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I get it. I put it on. Who was that in there with you? That's my cousin.
Talking about you.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And I heard the police told me to get out and put my feet on the ground and be damn quick about it. I'm saying to myself, what's wrong with this man? Is he crazy?
Right.
Let me see your driving license. No, I'm questioning myself. What do you want my driving license for? I ain't driving.
Yeah, you weren't driving. You were in the passenger.
Yeah.
Side. Yeah.
And then when I showed him to him, oh, this one of these smart niggas down here from Illinois. I had Michigan driving license.
Right.
He said, I was down here from Illinois. What you doing down here? I said, I'm home to visit my my people. Who are your people? I said, you know James Gates, O'Neal Bean? Nah, I don't know no damn nigga. How long would it take you to get out and down here? And I stopped talking then. He got angry with me. And he slapped the hell out of me. And they started pushing me from one to the other one and told me that if I wasn't down here in a few days, what they were going to do. And so they let us live. Went on to the house, man. And there was some other peoples that had pulled up out there. And I could tell they had been drinking, man. Well, nothing I could
do. The police?
Yeah.
They'd been drinking?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They pushing me. He did tell me, slap me. Busted my lip. He told me, says, the next time, instead of spitting out blood, I was going to be spitting out my teeth. And so we went on home. I went on home that night. Wasn't nothing I could do. And it was some people that saw that. They was trying to get me to make a legal thing out of it, which I should have. At the time, I didn't know no better, man. That's how that incident ended up. And
I've never heard that story.
Another time.
That's craziness.
Yeah, I had been working over there at Houston. I was working at MP Enterprise. I had got out of work that evening. We was coming home. I was driving a little old black Falcon. And the police, I saw him behind me, but we went through town to stop at my ass there for a minute. And come back out on the highway and got up there. He pulled us over up there. And he asked me see my driving license. And I told him, which I didn't lie to him. I said, well, I lost my wallet the other day at work. I said, I've applied for another license, but I don't have it yet. And he asked me, was I lying to him? I said, well, no, sir. I said, but you can call in and they'll verify what I'm telling you now. And when I started telling him, he told me if I want to talk to him to pull that damn hat off my head.
Just to talk to him?
Yeah.
Pull your hat off.
Pull my hat off. And I'm wondering, what do we mean? What is it? What do we mean by this?
Right.
And I says, you want me to pull my hat off? And he was unstrapping his gun, told me I didn't have to pull it off if I didn't want it to.
Oh.
Just like that right. He would kill me or shoot me.
Yeah. You don't have to pull it off, but if you don't, then right.
And he went on through his thing. That was wrong with the world now. You damn niggas on welfare.
See that?
And I said to him, sir, I worked all my life.
Yeah.
That's where I'm coming from, work. And I worked today, tomorrow, and
till you die.
Yeah, I come out of working family. And he told me that's the way you have to control us is through fear. And I didn't say nothing else to him. And there was a guy riding with me. His name was Clyde Cagle. He says, who is that in there with you? And Clyde says, who you talking to, me? He said, no, that other nigga in there behind you. Wasn't nobody.
Oh, that's terrible. Oh,
man. He finally let us go. And we hauled ass up out of there and went on home. And it was just a nightmare after it was all over. And you thinking about these peoples. And yeah, it just don't end, man. So.
Yeah. You know, I've thought about that story many times after you told me.
Yeah.
And it's a. Just for the officer. For him, that mentality, well, not only that's obvious racist mentality, but him seeing you as an inferior like that.
Oh, yeah.
You pull your hat off when you talk to me.
Oh, yeah.
That's, you know what I'm saying?
Pull my hat off.
Yeah.
Why? Talk to him.
He saw himself superior to you.
Yeah. I stayed angry about those incidents a long time. But I had to forgive them before I could save myself.
Right.
And that's the only way I could get some relief is just forgive them for what they done, because ignorance is, and that's what I had to write it off, is just some ignorant men and stupid. Yeah,
can be very dangerous.
Yeah.
Ignorance.
Drunk with racism. And
what kind of hope do you have for the future? From here on, things are better than they were 50, 60 years ago. It's not perfect now. Do you see things getting better and better?
I do. Because they're not perfect now, but they're a lot better than they were.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you hope for tomorrow, you know, that we'll... It's like Dr. King says that about judging a man for his character instead of his color. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The content of his character.
Yeah.
As opposed to the color of his skin.
Judge me for who I am. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm not a bad person. I know that. But you may not know it. But if you exchange with me and work with me or whatever we're doing together, you'll see that I'm just like you. I'm just a... an ordinary man, God fearing, and But see, the thing about it is, I know when God made you, He didn't make no mistake.
Right.
I know that. So that's the first thing I have to realize. And I know when He made me, He didn't make no mistake. I'm just His black creation. You His white creation.
Mm-hmm.
So, try to glorify your whiteness. I'm gonna try to glorify my blackness. That's my job I got to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I ain't ashamed. Nothing. When I walk up, I'm black. Thank you, dear Lord.
Right. Right.
Just help me glorify this blackness that I got.
Yeah. You know, with me growing up with you, and of course the way I was raised.
Yeah.
You know, you're like family to us.
Right.
You know, we always call you Uncle Rob.
Yeah.
You're just like family to us.
Yeah, I know where we're coming from.
But, and I think if people would see each other like I see you.
Right.
Is a brother.
A brother.
We have the same father.
Right.
God, right?
Right. That's
right. We are literally kinfolk.
That's right.
However you want to say it in the spirit. Or
that's right.
God, you know, mm-hmm. We're brothers, and I think...
I see your children.
People can't see that.
Same way, Z. Your children, when I see them, I say, man, them children is... Hey, you getting old, Rob. Them Zeke's kids. You know, I remember when you didn't have no kids, man. Hadn't thought about no kids.
Yeah.
Enid's and Jared's kids. I play with them and stuff when I see them. You know, we got a relationship now.
Oh, yeah.
It make me feel blessed, man.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
If people will start seeing each other as brothers and sisters.
That's right.
That's going to help.
That's right.
Cure a lot of this.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Robert, it's been a fascinating conversation.
Oh yeah, it's been nice.
Yeah. Hey, we're gonna go. We're gonna go swim in the ocean a little bit later. You want to come with us?
Well, you got a boat by size of Titanic. Go out there with you.
Then after that, we're gonna go skydiving. You want to go with us?
Oh no, I'm a groundhog, man. Yeah.
I'm not going skydiving either.
I heard that.
Robert, it's been fun.
Yeah, it's been fun too. You can look at these things, look at the past, and laugh about it. It's funny. You know, it was hurtful situation, but, you know, all that's behind us now, you know, I'm concerned, you know.
Yeah, just keep making progress, and if individuals can make progress in themselves, it'll get better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, thanks for coming in, Robert. We're going to do it again.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for having me, Zeke.
Yep.